Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Our text for our thought this afternoon comes from 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 21. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool, and have erred exceedingly. We want to study the acknowledgement made by this man this afternoon, and study something about the man who made that acknowledgement. Behold, I have played the fool, and have erred exceedingly. Indeed, these are the words of a man who was at first destined to become a mighty leader, one who has cast a mighty light upon a darkened world. They are the words of a man who had more than once lied, but who was now telling the truth. And in a few words, he's telling us what a mess he had made of his life. The man who finally admitted that he had played the fool, the man who said that he had erred exceedingly, was Saul, the first king of Israel. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, the son of Kish. His father was a mighty man of power. Early in life, Saul was said to be a choice young man, a goodly person. In fact, the Bible said that there was not a goodlier person to be found. He stood head and shoulders above others of his age. At first, Saul was a very humble young man, a boy who loved and respected and helped his father. At the time he was called to become the first king of Israel, he was out searching for his father's beast. And to show the thoughtfulness he had for his father, he said to his servant, after they have been gone for some time, let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought of us. When this boy needed guidance, he sought it first of a man of God. This is the boyhood background of the man who later had to admit, I have played the fool, I have erred exceedingly. Now, we've noticed Saul was a boy of unusual promise. No morning ever had a more promising dawn. No one's life ever began more hopefully than did the life of this man. He had a good family. He had a good name. Had a great background. He had a good physique. Just about every advantage a boy could possibly desire. He was God's man. He was God's choice for the task that lay ahead. And what an honor for this young man to be asked to serve as the first king over the nation of Israel. It fell his lot to set the pace for God's great line of kings. So God not only selected and equipped Saul, but gave him another heart, promised to be with him in his undertakings. On this man, the Spirit of God had fallen. The people said about him, see ye him whom the Lord has chosen, that there is none like him among the prophets? In fact, they said, what is this that is come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among all the people? And they said this became a proverb. Is Saul also among the prophets? Well, in equipping this man for the task that lay ahead, there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. What more could this young man want? He had every advantage in the world, every break that could ever be wished for. He had a company of the very best men to assist him. The Spirit and the presence of Almighty God was there to guide him. How tragic that such a young man with such a promising future would later be forced to say, I have played the fool, I have erred exceedingly. Well, what went wrong in Saul's life? Where did he fail? How had he played the fool? Where did he get off track? Remember, he was God's choice. But just because God selects a man and equips that man doesn't mean that that person will have to give no more thought to his task. It isn't enough for one to be a success in life. He must keep on being a success. God had done his part, and now Saul must do his. And Saul failed to do his part. This is where he went wrong. And we want to notice, in the time remaining, some of the failures that were made along the way. Number one, running away from his responsibility. One of the first things we ought to notice about this young man is that when God selected him, and when God asked him to serve as the first king of Israel, he hid himself. This effort to run away from responsibility might have had its bearing on some of his later blunders. God has a right to select whomsoever he will for a given task. And God's assignments are never unreasonable for man to carry out. When we're given an assignment by the Lord, we should never think of trying to hide, but rather count it an honor that God has asked us to serve him. Well, a second thing, he took to himself glory that belonged to another. And here's another place where he fouled up along the way. In the third year of his reign, he chose 3,000 men with which to smite a garrison of the Philistines. He took 2,000 of these for himself, gave 1,000 to Jonathan, and it was really Jonathan and his 1,000 men who smote the garrison of the Philistines. But Saul blew his trumpet, and all Israel heard him say that he had smitten a garrison of the Philistines. And here's the father taking the credit that really belonged to his son Jonathan. A third mistake, he was one who didn't really think things through. Saul was often hasty in his judgment. One time, on the spur of a moment, he took an oath that imperiled the life of his son Jonathan. On another occasion, he took too much into his own hands. He didn't wait for Samuel to offer the burnt offering that only Samuel was to do the offering. He was impatient. He was restless. He couldn't seem to wait for the Lord to guide him. In this, Samuel said to him, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord." And so here's the man who later was forced to say, "I played the fool. I have erred exceedingly." And perhaps he would not have played the fool had he waited for the Lord to guide him. But there's a fourth thing we notice in the life of Saul. He tried to cover up his faults. When God told him to go against the Amalekites, he was commanded to take none of the spoils, to spare none of the lives of the people. But instead of doing what God had told him to do, and he claimed to Samuel that he had done exactly what the Lord said, he had actually, though, spared the life of the king, old King Agag, and he brought back the best of the flocks and the best of the herds. When he was reprimanded by Samuel for this, he blamed the people for his own mistake. He said, "I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone the way which the Lord sent me. But the people took of the spoil and the things which should have been utterly destroyed." But he was told by God's prophet that because he had rejected God's word, God had rejected him from being king over Israel. Saul was not one readily to admit fault, but he sought to cover up his faults by blaming them on someone else. And this is the man who said, "I played the fool, I have erred exceedingly." There's a fifth thing we notice. He was filled with envy, with jealousy, with hatred. After Saul had disobeyed the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord departed from him, and an evil spirit troubled him. If he had acknowledged his wrongs and in penitence sought God's help, his later steps would have been far different from what they were. Instead, he grew bitter. He let envy and jealousy fill his life. When young David fought and won the great victory over Goliath, the giant, Saul's question was, "Whose son is this youth?" It displeased Saul so much when the women began to sing David's praises instead of singing Saul's praises. They said, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s." And Saul reasoned, "What could he have more than the kingdom?" The Bible says that from that day, Saul eyed David. He was afraid of David because he could see that the Lord was with him. And he was jealous of David. He was filled with envy and hatred of David. And then a sixth thing we see about Saul. He returned evil for good. We can see how envy and jealousy began to destroy Saul's love. And we see a growing hatred that he had for David. Twice he attempted to kill David, but he failed in those attempts. He wouldn't listen to reason. Saul later laid an evil plot to take David's life. He gave his eldest daughter to be David's wife, saying, "I will give him her that she may be a snare to him, that the hand of the Philistines may be against him." 1 Samuel 18, verse 21. And just imagine a father doing such a thing as that, giving his daughter to be a snare to the son-in-law. But this backfired on Saul, for the Lord constantly stood by the side of David. Young David was unaffected by the bitterness that Saul had toward him. Through it all, he behaved himself so wisely and was always at Saul's service. Saul had made every attempt possible to take David's life. But when the time came when David could have easily taken Saul's life, he returned good for evil instead. On two occasions, David had an opportunity to kill Saul, but he just couldn't bring himself to do it. He looked upon Saul as the Lord's anointed, and his heart kept him from even thinking of doing harm to one of God's anointed. On one of these occasions, when David returned good for evil, it was then that Saul said, "I have played the fool. I have erred exceedingly." The man who uttered those words is a man who at one time tried to run away from responsibility. Later he took for himself a glory that belonged to another. There were times when he didn't think things through, but became very hasty in his actions. When he sinned, he tried to cover up his faults by blaming others. He let envy, jealousy, and hatred ruin his life. In his bitterness, he returned evil for good. He turned against the man who had tried the most to help him. And Saul was correct when he said, "I have played the fool. I have erred exceedingly." He had lied many times, but he was telling the truth when he uttered those words. And what a shame to see a life that began so full of hope end so tragically. And how different his whole life could have been if he had lived close to the Lord all along. Well, what lessons can we learn from this man's life? How can we start out right and end up right? Well, in our observation of his life, we can see that physical appearance alone is not enough. He had everything to commend him in this regard, but unless a man's heart is right with God, these other things don't amount to very much. God was with Saul at first, but Saul and God later parted company, and it was Saul who had failed, not God. It was Saul who had played the fool, and he did it because of the lack of dependence upon God and because of the lack of spirituality in his life. So when we study the life of Saul, we see how jealousy and vainglory can make a fool of a man. We see how these things can make a man bitter, how they can destroy his happiness, how they can ruin his good. And these things can strip a man of the desire to serve others, the desire to please the Lord. Saul thought only of himself. He left God out of his life. He forgot about his soul. He was concerned only with the here and now. And if he had only realized that it isn't all of life to live, and it isn't all of life to die. My friend, will you have to say, as Saul did, "I have played the fool, I have erred exceedingly"? Let God be your guide. Take his word, that he might lead you in paths of righteousness.